to my dearest friends. I am honored to welcome you back once more for today's detailed investigation into the witches, mutants, and gifted beings who we broadly name as psykers. At their most basic level, a psyker is an individual who may reach into the warp, harness a mote of its immaterial power, and siphon it into our own plane of reality, granting them with abilities and sorceries which border on the impossible. They have existed since the ancient days of the war in heaven, guiding a myriad of diverse empires through the ages towards heights of unimaginable glory and down into chasms of inescapable ruin. Hypothetically, there is really no limit to what a psyker may achieve, with some of the most gifted of their kind being able to perfectly foretell the chaotic future, while others may reduce entire armies into but atoms of sparkling light. In practice, however, most psykers will never amount to much of anything, as they are constantly at risk of falling victim to their own powers, of being slain by ruthless witch hunters, or simply by feeling the warp overtaking them as they are possessed and destroyed by an errant demon. But this is where the differences between psykers, an entire species for that matter, become more apparent. Some individuals will hold a particularly strong connection with the warp, allowing them to effortlessly weave the Empyrean energies to their own gain, being able to contain the maddening currents within their very soul without putting themselves in any danger. Others, however, are not so lucky. Most within the galaxy hold only a tenuous link to the realm of souls, and are simply too weak, either spiritually or physically, to resist the ravenous grasping of demonic beasts, or to wrangle control over such powers without exploding in a mist of blood and otherworldly force. Being exposed to the chaos of the warp, it is only natural that some psykers will eventually fall to the sway of the dark gods, pledging their eternal souls to the vile enemies of mankind in the hopes of receiving some gift from the lost and the damned. As a result of this, and for their inherent instability, the Imperium generally distrusts all psychic individuals, unless, of course, they have proven themselves as being in complete control over their errant souls. The Inquisition will routinely scour the stars for isolated psykers, which, when found, will either be stolen away for specialized training, sometimes being more akin to imprisonment than a proper education, or simply executed on the spot. Still, even if all psykers are truly dangerous, we cannot ignore the undeniable boons they provide to the wider Imperium. Sanctioned psykers support the forces of the Imperial Guard. Astropaths communicate through the fathomless darkness of the void, and librarians are highly valued by the numerous chapters of the Adeptus Astartes. Even the Emperor himself, broken and faded as he may be, is still perhaps the most potent psyker humanity has ever seen. And so we really must ask ourselves as to why the Imperium is so paranoid and so fearful of the witch. To answer this question, we must learn of what a psyker really is. Going into far more detail than our brief introduction of why they exist across so many different species and of what role they have played in the shaping of galactic history. But with these questions in mind, my dearest friends, it certainly feels as though our little opening is complete and that it is now time for us to begin. It truly does not matter where our journey begins, as these gifted individuals are scattered across the entire breadth of the galaxy. So let us venture out and learn what we can until we can safely answer the question of what is a Psyker. To understand the Psyker, one must first understand the warp, as the two are as intertwined as chaos is to humanity. The warp, sometimes known as the Immaterium or Empyrean, is an alternate dimension formed of the emotional energies of the sentient species of the galaxy, which some scholars see as a twisted and cracked mirror of our own reality. It is a realm where the thoughts, feelings, and souls of us mortals coalesce together, forming great swirling oceans of unreality, from which demons and entities rise forth, clawing out of the madness as the Neverborn. The Chaos Gods themselves are formed of these energies, and so we could consider that dark quartet as representing the four concepts to evoke the strongest emotions in all mortals, being of anger, lust, change, and death. But these figures, terrible as they may be, have woven their realms of chaos, their demonic legions, and even the geography of the warp itself out of that very same emotional energy. But what's with all this talk of demons and gods? What does this have to do with psychers? Well, the truth of the matter is that psychically sensitive individuals may reach into the warp and draw from the same immaterial wellspring of the gods to foster their own powers and to channel that roiling energy into the material world. This does not mean that psychers are inherently chaotic, nor that the warp is inherently evil, as it all depends on how one utilizes the gifts of the warp and of what impression they allow the warp to leave upon them. As an allegory, let us imagine the warp as though it were truly an ocean, with two fishermen, one a psyker and one not, sitting upon separate boats, plumbing the depths for their oceanic prize. The non-psyker, unable to peer through the waves, must rely upon a fishing rod, only being able to catch what so happens to pass beneath him. In an infinitely wide ocean, the chances of a catch are incredibly slim, much in the same way as it being unlikely for that individual to ever foster any powers from the warp, as they cannot peel back the layers and see where to cast. The psyker, however, may reach himself into the ocean, diving down directly through the currents, snatching fish left and right, drawn to their presence like a moth to a flame. But if the fish here represent the powers of the Immaterium, they must also represent the demonic forces, and so he will be just as likely to grab the tail of some unimaginable horror leading to his own consumption and death within the deep. He may also be swept up by an invisible current, or ensnared by some invisible force, all things which he would have been safe from if he did not crave power so much that he saw his own life as being worth the risk. To further the analogy, we must realize that the stronger a connection one holds to the warp, the brighter their soul will shine within it, making the more potent of psychers appear as an enticing beacon, drawing demons and other malign entities to that light, like a shark smelling blood. Thus, utilizing one's psychic powers is inherently dangerous, as it risks attracting the predators of the Immaterium, who will either seek to consume your soul or to possess your body. This is part of the reason why untrained psychers are so feared, as the reckless use of their powers will almost certainly lead them towards not only their own death, but to the corruption of the wider world. None are safe from this threat. Not even the most well-trained of psyker, as all may one day suffer from the so-called perils of the warp. This can occur from but the briefest lapse of concentration, and it can manifest in countless ways. But in brief, the psyker will be consumed by the immaterium and violently rent apart. Localized warp breaches may suck the doomed soul into the depths of hell. Their flesh may melt into the very ground beneath them, or a storm of blood may burst from their veins, swallowing up the surrounding battlefield in a rising tide of gore. I should mention that most psykers do not perceive the warp in a literal sensory way, at least not without special training or specific mutation. Gazing directly into the warp is a most ill-advised act, with most fools going insane from their first attempt. The mutant navigators, however, are a unique exception, as their third eye may be used to peer through the dimensions and chart a safe passage for their ship. Other psykers experience the warp more abstractly, perceiving it through their dreams, in clouded visions, or even as just an instinctual gut feeling. They might attempt to foresee the future by scrying, being forced to interpret metaphorical images or symbols bubbling up from some never-before-known subconscious. Actually summoning their powers can be a similarly intangible feat, with some psykers having no clear explanation as to how they decimated an entire platoon in a burst of violaceous lightning. Of course, their abilities can be trained, with certain techniques being akin to ancient spellcraft, where specific incantations must be spoken, runes cast into the air, or mental patterns reformed in their mind. But sometimes it can be more instinctual, where a sudden burst of emotion might precipitate a similarly themed display of power. For instance, if an untrained psyker were suddenly pounced upon by some feral beast, sparking an intense feeling of fear, then, without thinking, perhaps the psyker would teleport themselves into an endless darkness, free from the original monster, but surrounded by the gnawing certainty that they are not alone. This is another reason as to why the Imperium will always seek to control their psychically attuned citizens with an unwaveringly iron grip. They cannot possibly be trusted to manage their powers, and so that responsibility falls to the lords of the Adeptus Astra Telepathica, and if they fail in their ward, then to the fabled witch hunters of the Inquisition. So now that we understand a little more about what a psyker actually is, we should really ask ourselves as to what it is that makes them so different from an ordinary human. For this, we must get a little metaphysical, as we need to look into the very nature of a soul. From our studies, it seems as though a soul, indefinable and ethereal as it may be, is essentially a reflection of that individual's memories, mind, and spirit, coalesced into a single mote of psychic energy. Most people have a relatively small, guttering candle flame of a soul, which will barely disturb the roiling currents of the warp. A psyker, however, possesses a soul that burns far brighter, with a direct and active link to the wider immaterium. The fact that any soul causes a reaction to the warp is itself a rather curious fact, but it is thought to have come about from the ancient mutations which allow psykers to draw from their fantastical powers. I should mention at this point that there are beings known as psychic blanks, who possess a soul that directly negates the powers of the warp, essentially allowing them to nullify psykers by smothering their connection to the Empyrean. In any event, the actual incidence of psychic individuals amidst mankind has slowly been rising over time. And though many Imperials would claim that the Emperor was the first human psyker, I do believe the truth to be far more nuanced and not so certain. In actuality, the first records of humans utilizing the powers of the warp date back to the 22nd millennium, during the golden age of technology, though of course it quickly devolved into its much more appropriate name of the Dark Age. This isn't all that important at the moment, and we will return to this point in a later chapter, but psykers were relatively rare phenomena back in those days. Yet in the 41st millennium, around one in every million births will produce a psychically attuned child. Obviously, this is still a tiny fraction, but the Imperium controls a million worlds, harboring untold trillions of souls, so Terra only knows how many psykers are born each year. The Imperium, unable to ignore those ticking time bombs, permits its agents to roam the galaxy, following astro-telepathic augurs in their search for every last witch. Planetary governors are mandated by Imperial law to offer up any identified psykers as a part of their tithe, with the individuals rounded up and marched onto the dreaded black ships of the Inquisition. On such vessels, their fates will be decided by truly brutal means. It is a sad truth that most psykers are too unstable to control their powers safely, and thus will either be terminated or fed to the Golden Throne, with their souls quite literally consumed to nourish the Emperor's fading presence. Only a minority of the strong-willed and sane will be selected for proper training, at which point they will fall under the responsibility of the Astra Telepathica's academies, who will subdivide the chosen to serve specific roles dependent on their innate skills. But training a psyker is an exhaustive and often lethal process. The initiates will be put through brutal mental and spiritual conditioning programs, sometimes thought to rival the indoctrination patterns of certain Astartes chapters. This might be a bit of an exaggeration, but the Lords truly do not care for the aspirant psyker's survival, and so they will subject them to whatever is necessary to fortify their psyche. They need to know that by the end of their training, that the individual will be able to control their powers and resist the influences of the warp. So if there is even a sliver of doubt about either of these points, then they will simply be executed and erased from all record. A successful candidate will seal their minds like a fortress with its gates barred and guarded, meditating on telepathic benedictions, developing an inner strength hardy enough to withstand the inevitable tests of the dark gods. This mental armor is all that stands between a sanctioned psyker and a demonically possessed victim. But in the end, there is no such thing as total control, only varying degrees of containment. The life of a psyker is generally fraught and painfully short. The human body and mind can only channel so much warp energy before the strain of that otherworldly current becomes too much and something invariably breaks. Many sanctioned psykers within the Imperial Guard, for instance, will burn out on the battlefield, their brains hemorrhaging, their souls catching a light, and their eyes weeping with immaterial blood. Others, even in a safer profession, might simply fall victim to some creeping mutation as their constant exposure to the warp's mutagenic influence can twist flesh and soul in a multitude of horrifying ways. It's not all that uncommon for Imperial psykers to devolve into gibbering chaos spawn, or to just collapse in a pile of phosphorescent ash if they seek to draw more warp energy than their mortal frame can otherwise handle. Even those who avoid such extremes will still end up suffering from premature aging, physical deformities, such as witch marks, or intense bouts of psychological instability. High-level psykers must monitor their own condition, ever watching for signs of mental or physical corruption, and they will generally be graced with a quick death if they immediately report on any suspicious changes to their own form. For those who withhold their secrets, then the Inquisition will be far less merciful, as they have been known to abduct rogue psykers, imprisoning them within their impenetrable fortresses, only to use them as vessels for harboring demons or other such terrible fates. With all that said, the Imperium does in fact need psykers. They may indeed be feared by the wider lords and of those who have witnessed the foul perils of the warp, but there are a number of tasks which simply cannot be performed by anyone untouched by the curious gift of the warp. The Imperium would almost assuredly crumble without the work of astropaths, who, in a most ancient ritual, bind a portion of their soul to the Emperor, allowing them to project their messages across the galaxy without risking themselves to demonic predation. Similarly, while navigators are technically a mutant strain of abhumans, their psychic gifts of warp sight are truly invaluable for the Imperial Navy, which would certainly flounder without their guiding lead. Still, despite the myriad boons, the Imperium finds itself in something of a balancing act between the beneficial roles and catastrophic dangers posed by the psykers. They have ample justification to both laud and damn the witches, remembering all too well the countless cases of sanctioned psykers saving the day versus those who inadvertently sparked a demonic incursion. Thus, it makes sense as to why the Imperium approaches them so brutally, in that it only sustains the ones who provide a significant enough boon, while annihilating the ones who cannot. This, of course, is the core philosophy of the Ordo Hereticus, who relentlessly hunt rogue psykers to the very ends of the galaxy. "Suffer not the witch to live" is quite a catchy phrase, maybe one that is even quite fun to say. But it is absolutely necessary to remember that entire planets have fallen to the errant powers of psychic individuals, and that no matter how much training one has received, that they can never be trusted. So, having examined psykers, the warp, and their role in the Imperium, we arrive now at more of a biological question of why do psykers exist at all? Is there some purpose or reason behind the emergence of psychic individuals? Why have they appeared in so many prominent species, but not within others? Is humanity truly gifted with its psychic attenuation? And if not, then are we simply cursed to suffer beneath the corruptive essence of the warp as we fuel it with the pains of our own existence? Scholars have pondered such questions for eons, and while definitive answers are elusive, there are a number of intriguing theories, which all begin in the ancient history of our galaxy. The most likely, and perhaps most controversial of these, can be traced back to the mysterious beings known as the Old Ones. In that bygone age, they ruled the cosmos as its undisputed masters, being the most technologically and psychically advanced species of the time, with some scholars believing that no other race has ever surpassed their level of power. In any event, they were known to be masters of genetic engineering, a point which proved crucially important during the fabled War in Heaven. To paraphrase, this conflict was fought between the Old Ones and the spiteful Necrontyr, who had been spurred on by the manipulative star gods of the Catan to abandon their bodies and ascend as the immortal machines of the Necrons. Lacking the numbers to counter the undying legions, the Old Ones purportedly uplifted a number of lesser races to sapience, producing new armies to fight by their side, some of which were imparted with the necessary gifts for wielding the powers of the warp. Thus were born the Eldari, who were made highly attuned to the warp, quickly proving themselves as some of the most extraordinarily powerful of psykers at the time, though we have no way of knowing if their abilities at all compared to those of the Old Ones. To play the devil's advocate, we don't actually know if the psychic abilities of the Eldari were engineered, or if it was a natural trait which the Old Ones identified as valuable, leading them to select the Eldari for upliftment. In any event, the Old Ones also produced the Kroks at this time, who would later devolve into the barbaric Orcs, but they possessed a latent psychic gestalt, not enough to link their consciousnesses, of course, but just sufficient to unify them in their path of war. If this is all true, then it would mean that psykers may in fact exist by design, being the legacy of an ancient race who created them as weapons of war. But the Old Ones certainly paid a heavy price for flooding the galaxy with psychic races. The collective emotions and sorceries of the Eldari, Kroks, and of all the other races massively disturbed the Immaterium, turning the once calm warp into the tumultuous, hellish realm it is today. Now, you must excuse me for the heresy I am about to read, but it is believed that mankind itself, or at least our earliest tree-dwelling ancestors, were in fact created by the Old Ones. It would be impossible to know the exact extent to their role in our development, so it could be that they simply modified some of the creatures upon old Terra, as opposed to designing us as entirely artificial beings. Regardless, the Old Ones, despite their mastery over all fields, were defeated during the War in Heaven, and whatever their plan was for mankind was lost to the ages. Over the following millions of years, those tree-dwelling mammals, bereft of external guidance, would follow their natural evolutionary path, eventually developing into our own race of humanity. But, fast-forwarding through time, we have to acknowledge that the first recorded cases of human psykers only appeared during the 22nd millennium, some 60 million years after the Old Ones vanished. So, was mankind's sensitivity and connection to the warp really due to their influence? Was this some ancient gene left to germinate for countless years, and that for whatever reason it was only then ripe for expression? Well, maybe. It could be that something around the time of the 22nd millennium triggered those dormant genes into activation, thusly granting certain individuals with their psychic powers. Since this was the pinnacle of humanity's age of technology, not yet known as the Dark Age, perhaps some esoteric technologies had been used to awaken the forgotten genes. Conversely, maybe the technology itself created the psychic genes, which would explain why no psykers had been identified before this age. There is also a theory which posits that since mankind had spread across the galaxy, that their presence had created soft ripples in the warp, which, when buffeted against reality, may have shocked certain individuals into becoming more attuned to the Immaterium. Now, these are just ideas, as, of course, the official story and the official pieces of Imperium-approved lore all revolve around the Emperor and his role as the shepherd to all of mankind. This is not a widely circulated tale, but according to ancient Terran myth, the hunter-gatherer tribes upon old Earth were led by a group of psychic individuals known as the shamans. They acted as spiritual guides to the tribal communities, divining the rhythms and flow of reality to benefit their kin. But when one died, they would simply reincarnate into a new form, thusly allowing them to lead the same groups indefinitely, almost as a minor deity. The story reads that as mankind became more advanced and progressed into a self-centered civilization, that the shaman sensed the reflected patterns of the warp, which had become far darker and was now infested with monstrous entities born of our own ambition. Their reincarnations were no longer assured, as these demons would devour their souls, and the shamans were at this point convinced that if mankind continued down this path, that it would only lead them to certain annihilation. Thus they convened, and through their debates decided that if mankind, in its current state, was indeed doomed, that they must abandon its weaknesses and force an evolutionary jump to create what they termed as the new man. This individual would then guide humanity into a fully psychic race, where their powers would allow them to protect themselves from the unimaginable nightmares of the warp. In agreement, the remaining shamans joined together in a grand ritual, giving up their own lives and souls, left to coalesce above them, finally taking form as the newborn Emperor of mankind. Since the Emperor has indeed guided humanity, first from the shadows and then from the forefront, for millennia, it could certainly be believed that he orchestrated many an event which led to the psychic awakening of our wider species. Of course, most humans hold only a pitiful connection to the warp, just about strong enough for their emotions to feed its powers. But only time will tell to see if this grows to the point where psychic powers become commonplace for all of mankind. Unfortunately, psychers have repeatedly led to naught but destruction within the Imperium, so who can really say as to whether or not a psychic connection is a true boon, or if we would all be better off as nullified blanks? Interestingly, there is a radical sect within the Inquisition known as the Polypsychana, who are seeking to accelerate humanity's complete ascension into a fully psychic species, though we unfortunately know very little about their operations. So, we have theories suggesting that early humans possessed latent psychic powers, but without any concrete evidence as to why. I suppose the why doesn't matter as much, as of course, if it was ever proven that these gifts were the result of Xenos tampering or technological interference, then it would most assuredly be branded as heresy. Given that near every faction boasts some form of psychically sensitive unit, or at the very least, a method of harnessing the powers of the warp, we can be sure that the galaxy's myriad inhabitants will possess a truly vast array of diverse psychers. Within the Imperium, if a psyker is permitted to live, they are to be strictly categorized and assigned a specific role for the rest of their uncertain life. To begin with, every psychically sensitive individual will be graded according to their power level, a rating system known as the assignment, which is a rough attempt at quantifying something as intangible as psychic power. It is quite a complex scale, but essentially it is anchored around a baseline human of level zero, with negative scores representing those who are anathema to the warp, like blanks or pariahs, while positive scores represent increasingly powerful psychers. The scale accounts for beings thus far unencountered and who are possibly hypothetical, such as creatures so in tune with the warp that their physical form would be non-existent and whose minds would essentially be free-living ethereal entities. Now, in terms of imperial psychers, we previously covered the communicative astropaths, mutant navigators, and sanctioned psychers of the Guard. But there are many psychic disciplines which one may follow and which are far less known to the wider Imperium. I'll quickly point out that these mostly apply to the inquisitorial agents who are gifted with the powers of the warp, but they can broadly apply to many specialized subtypes of Imperial psyker. Also, it's typically the more radical of Inquisitors who lean into their psychic methods, as, of course, we must remember that their entire organization serves to hunt the witch and banish the demon, both of which draw their powers from the same wellspring as a common psyker. In any event, telepaths may project portions of their mind into a targeted individual, allowing them to communicate over some rather impressive distances, sometimes holding simultaneous conversations with dozens of targets at a time. The more potent of telepaths will be able to impart their will upon said targets, overwhelming their thoughts and feelings, forcing them to carry out certain tasks without even knowing that it was caused by a telepathic agent. Telekinetic individuals, sometimes referred to as telekines, though not to be confused with the fallen Mechanicus faction of Telkinia Forge, hold the power to manipulate their physical surroundings, bending reality to their every whim. The laws of nature will fold before them, with a seasoned telekine able to invert local gravity fields or to crush entire structures into cubes of ruin, just with a mere incantation. Biomancers possess similar abilities, though are more specialized in the manipulation of flesh, blood, and the intangible energies of life. It's quite difficult to comprehend, but they seem to be able to rewrite genetics, alter one's physical form, or to simply snuff out a life before them. These powers are not typically represented in combat units, but, as with the other disciplines, they are usually reserved to individual inquisitors or psykers under their control. For instance, Inquisitor Ravenor seems to be a potent biomancer, among other such things, reportedly reshaping the physical form of certain companions so that they may infiltrate hostile areas. Pyromancers are rather more common than the aforementioned disciplines and are quite easy to explain, in that they may spark and manipulate bouts of flame. Nothing more than a group of pyromaniacs, really. Theosophomancers, meanwhile, aside from having a much trickier name to pronounce, are far more challenging to understand. Essentially, they are able to manipulate the ways in which the warp interacts with the material universe, and so in practice they can open or close warp portals, empower or disrupt demons, and generally alter the way in which one perceives reality. They could, in theory, nullify another psyker's ability to cast their sorceries or to cause an overflow of warp energy into their soul, forcing them to devolve into a rabid chaos spawn, or to simply explode from the infernal pressures of immaterial power. With that said, it's mostly intended for restoring the material to immaterial balance, and it is quite rare to find a master of theosophomy going rogue, with their unique talents. It is far more likely, however, to find rogue agents who specialize in the school of demonology, as they are incredibly well versed in the methods needed to summon demons, a power which often ends up corrupting even the most faithful of the Emperor's servants. In any event, most Space Marine chapters hold their own psychic units, being of the famed librarians, who, in addition to casting their incantations during a battle, will often serve as the keepers to their chapter's ancient lore. They are multidisciplinary psychers, being proficient in many of the aforementioned disciplines, though will rarely be involved in anything related to demons, as that is officially reserved for the Brotherhood of the Grey Knights, and unofficially to a number of rather suspicious chapters. The Marines, always steeped in their own rich lore, will often take on quite unique interpretations of what it means to be a librarian, leading to some interesting cultural differences between the chapters. The Space Wolves, for instance, refuse to acknowledge their powers as having been born from the warp, and instead claim that their rune priests are channeling the sacred spirits of Fenris, much in the same way as their shamanic ancestors. They are still responsible for maintaining their chapter's historical records, but for the wolves, they refrain from resorting to the written format, instead singing aloud each saga as a skald to their enraptured, though often rather inebriated, brothers. The storm seers of the White Scars similarly draw their powers from the natural forces of Chogoris, which manifests as an ability to cast great arcs of lightning, surging forth from their almost pagan staves, obliterating targeted units with each crackling bolt. As an interesting fact, the Emperor banned the use of psychic marines at the Council of Nicaea after Magnus's sorceries were called into question, and this decree was never repealed, meaning that the majority of modern chapters are technically in defiance of the Emperor by utilizing their librarians. I've briefly touched on the individuals known as psychic blanks in this sermon, but to explain them in more detail, we need to realize that they are mortals who exert a negative pressure upon the warp itself. This means that they actively repel the immaterial energies of that infernal dimension, sapping demons of their life essence, draining psychers of their prized abilities, while leaving even weakly attuned individuals with an inescapable feeling of discomfort. This is caused by the so-called pariah gene, sometimes thought to be a curse from the dark age of technology, though some radical inquisitors believe it to be a naturally occurring adaptation which protects mankind from the ceaseless influences of the warp. In any event, they are exceedingly rare individuals, but so valuable is their gift that the Imperium will seek them out, desperately hoping that they can train that untouchable to wrangle control of their empty soul and to utilize it against the many enemies of man. The most famous examples would be of the Kalexus Temple Assassins, who are without a doubt the Imperium's finest witch hunters, being able to reduce even the most powerful of psyker to a gibbering wreck just by their mere presence alone. The Sisters of Silence are similarly made up entirely of psychic blanks, where they serve as the militant arm of the Adeptus Astra Telepathica, investigating and hunting down any emergent psychic threats across the vastness of the entire galaxy. I would be remiss to not now mention a truly diabolical theory regarding the psychic blanks, as it again calls into question the natural form of all of mankind. Essentially, The Eldari believe the pariah gene to have been created by the Necrons during the war in heaven, who implanted it into humanity's earliest ancestors, hoping to one day exploit us as a weapon against the warp itself. This theory, though wildly heretical, does hold some merit, as the Necrons have been known to abduct void-souled humans before transfiguring them into half-biological, half-synthetic abominations known as pariahs. Perhaps this, then, is humanity's purpose amidst the stars. Maybe the Emperor and the wider Imperium was but an aberration in our intended journey of being modified into living weapons against the warp, made to serve a soulless race of undying robots in their pursuit of galactic conquest. I often refer to the Imperium of Man as a crumbling ruin, as though it were some hollow, abandoned realm inhabited only by the lost and the damned, who are both unwilling and unable to make any efforts of change. But the fact that it is a ruin, a galaxy-spanning ruin for that matter, does mean that it was once a grand empire, and it was one which certainly could not have been formed without the influence of psykers. Yes, there are terrible moments of history where mankind and other sapient species have suffered tremendously under the heel of psionic warlords or rogue sorcerers. But the Imperium once thrived, and still survives, in no small part because of the psykers who remained loyal. I suppose we have to ask ourselves, if we could turn back time and expunge mankind's psychic presence from history, whether we believe that humanity would be in a better or worse place. Would the Emperor have even been born without the sacrifice of the psychic shamans? And if so, could a non-psychic emperor have led mankind into a golden age? Or was his supernatural influence over the wider species as a direct result of his powers? If mankind was free from our psychic potential, perhaps in the same way as the Tau, would Erebus have still fallen to the sway of the ruinous powers, repeated his role as the architect of the Horus heresy, and would the Imperium have still fractured in exactly the same way? I do not believe this would have been the case for a multitude of reasons. Firstly, without our psychic presence, the warp would impart far less of an impact, with it being highly unlikely for individuals to fall to the corruptive influence of the dark gods. Secondly, if mankind was never a psychic species, then we would have never fueled the emotional energies of the warp to begin with, translating to chaos, and the wider gods being far weaker and less meddlesome than they currently are. But perhaps the main reason would be that I do not believe the Imperium could have progressed as far as it did without the presence of psykers. Without navigators or astropaths, how would their ships traverse the cosmos? Mankind would have still been ravaged by rogue AIs during the Dark Age of Technology, and would rightfully fear an over-reliance on ancient technologies. So the shattered realm of humanity might simply have remained fragmented. Also, if the Emperor were a non-psyker, could he have even completed his Primarch project without stealing away the necessary secrets from the warp? It's truly quite an interesting thing to consider, but a lot of it is pure speculation, which serves no real benefit to anyone but the thinker. A more important question, however, would be of whether or not humanity is destined to become a fully psychic species. This, of course, was the original goal of the shamans who coalesced into the Emperor, and therefore perhaps his idea of mankind's true golden age would involve a psychic awakening and the psionic ascension of every last human. I have no clue what this would look like in practice, but we must remember that the shamans sought this goal because they were falling victims to the demons of the warp. So maybe they foresaw humanity being able to take the fight to the immaterium, potentially dispelling the entirety of the warp as a great psychic army. Maybe instead, all of mankind was to sacrifice itself in the same way as the shamans, performing some species-wide ritual to conjoin our souls, birthing an omniscient entity who could topple the realms of chaos and reign supreme as a true human deity. In any event, it does seem as though more and more psykers are appearing through the passing years. And so whatever their intention, humanity does seem to be undergoing some form of psychic awakening. But for what goal? None can say. But with this, my dearest friends, I do believe that we have once again come to our end. Thank you all so much for listening to this sermon on the psychers of the Imperium in its entirety, and for listening to these rambled questions on the nature of psionics. Regardless, as has become our habit, I must once again depart. And so, as I close this chapter once more and leave you for another week, I will wish each and every one of you with a very warm goodbye.